Hello, and welcome to Ten Talks. I'm your host, Jesse Turner. After being an Ayers College Access Counselor for 7 years in a rural high school, I wanted to talk to rural leaders about their story, who they are, why they do what they do now, and how they feel like they can help. Today on the show, we have Carter County Mayor Patty Woodby. After an unconventional start to her role as mayor, Patty Woodby is no stranger to helping her community. She's maximized every role she's had to help people in situations similar to herself growing up. She joined me in Nashville for a fascinating conversation on her humble beginnings growing up in an area that still does not have running water, all the way to humanitarian projects that are years ahead of the curve. This is Ten Talks. We are here today in Nashville, Tennessee. We are with Carter County Mayor, Miss Patty Woodby. I appreciate you making the far drive. We were just talking off mic. This is about 4 hours.
About 4 hour drive.
From Nashville, mm-hmm. which is fascinating to a West Tennessean, as I've told you. I did not know until, and I did learn this has been about, I guess, 6 or 7 years ago, that when the Ayers Foundation Trust expanded to Unicoi County is when I found out that our state did not end in Knoxville. So I'm hoping our West Tennessee listeners, if they didn't know that before, they know mm-hmm. it now. Mm-hmm. So it's about 4 hours from Nashville in the east direction, and you're the county mayor.
I am.
Fantastic. I am. And how long have you been in this role?
I have been in this role, September 1st will actually be 4 years.
4 years.
Fantastic. I'm the first female county mayor in Carter County, and I Love am it. One of three female county mayors in the state of Tennessee.
Currently. Wow. Okay.
There's 95 counties, 95 county mayors, mm-hmm. and I'm one of three that are currently in this position.
So. That's wonderful to have mm-hmm. you then just to add some more representation to it.
Yes. I would love to see more females, and I really advocate for females to be more involved in leadership roles in our community. So I'm a big, strong advocate for females to play a role in these very important roles. So
absolutely. Yeah, we talk about we don't have to go into election season or anything like that, but I love to talk about election season just locally to my friends and stuff to make sure I'm like, hey, like, make sure you vote. Like, you
yes.
may not like
yes.
The larger, like, federal elections or larger state elections. I was like, but our local elections.
Local elections are honestly your most important elections.
100%.
That's what affects
we can be biased.
The
we
people
can say it right here.
The most is mm-hmm. your local elections. That's where you see things happening in your local government.
Absolutely.
It's a little harder to see at the state and federal level, mm-hmm. but your local government, your local elected officials are absolutely making rules and doing things in your local community that do affect everyday families.
100%.
So it's very important to vote. Very important to vote. No matter what your stance may be, just get out and exercise
Absolutely.
The right to vote, because so many people have died for that right to vote. And mm-hmm. so I just really appreciate, and I've consistently, when election time rolls around in our small county, making sure people take the time out to even leave their offices mm-hmm. to go over. And we do allow them to stay on the clock if they want to go over and vote, but we do make sure that they are exercising their right to vote when they're county employees with us.
I love that. But before you were county mayor, let's start back just a little bit at the beginning. Tell me about where you grew up, how that impacted who you are today.
So I grew up in a very rural part of Carter County, called the Little Milligan-Butler area. Very
okay.
small, very, very poor. I grew up there in an area with my three younger siblings. We were very poor. With a small elementary school that was there, we obtained our education through that elementary school, which was more than just an elementary school. It was more of like a community hub.
Okay.
My mother went through a divorce a little, probably when I was 10 or 12 years old. She went through a divorce from my stepfather, who was an alcoholic. We witnessed a lot of domestic abuse, alcoholism, probably things small children should not be witnessing at 10, 9, 8, and 6. That were the ages of all of us during that time. So that really rural community became home to us. When my mother went through that divorce, she probably took a little bit of time and checked out herself, because she had experienced so much domestic abuse, just had lived a really rough life. And so she really left me to kind of take care of my three younger siblings. I was 12 years old at the time and in seventh grade. So
it was a large responsibility.
Yeah, large responsibility. She went to a neighboring community and kind of stayed with a boyfriend, which is about an hour away, another city. And she would come back and forth and bring groceries here and there. But the community kind of rallied around us in that rural community, taking care of us, stopping by, checking on us. Nowadays, you know, DCS would have come in and removed everybody, but we were able to stay together through those years, and I made sure all three younger brothers got to school and done homework, and we cooked, and of course, you know, in the area that we lived in, we also did not have running water, and that's a huge issue in a lot of our rural communities, but I grew up in that type of environment where we were going to a spring and gathering water in large 5-gallon jugs to cook with, to take baths with, to flush the toilets with, because you just don't have that. And you still don't have that in today's time in some of the areas in Carter County.
Wow.
Yes. That's a really big initiative for me, actually, is infrastructure and clean drinking water, because I'm a product of not having that viable source of water. So, yeah. So at 12 years old, I had three younger brothers, and we had to survive. And so I was their mother in a way, and I had to grow up really quick. I took care of them, washed clothes, done all the things, and we made it. We eventually, you know, I went on to high school, and we all went on to high school and graduated and went on along our merry ways. But I became a mother at a really young age, and I learned to become a caregiver and take care of people at 12 years old. So I've walked in a lot of shoes. I've seen domestic violence. I've lived in a very poor rural area. So I understand the struggles of a lot of people. That area of our county is still very important to me. That community surrounded my family and myself and my younger siblings. So I always try to want to give back to that area as much as I can in my role. So, of course, I've been blessed to end up being the mayor of the county that I love dearly, and that taught me so much to, you know, just become a good caretaker. And that's kind of the role that I do now. I have that motherly role in this role of mayor of 57,000 citizens in my county that I truly want to take care of and do the best for.
That is amazing. Yeah. I mean, and I could hear the heart in your voice. Yeah. when you were talking about, like, this clean water initiative. Yeah. Is mm-hmm. important to you because you're a product mm-hmm. of it. You want to see mm-hmm. that improve. Tell me a little bit about, you know, you said you made it all to high school, mm-hmm. graduated high school. What was the journey between
graduated high school
to mayor?
Yeah, graduated high school, went to East Tennessee State University for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I, you know, took my time. Didn't feel like, you know, I wanted to do other things. So I got a job. I actually got this job straight out of high school. It was at a local restaurant waitressing. So I was a waitress mm-hmm. trying to go to school and get my degree. Ended up becoming pregnant with my daughter at 23 years old while being a waitress, mm-hmm. trying to go to school, right. all doing it on my own while living at home. At this time, I had moved back home with my mother, who had actually had to return the favor to me, ended up helping me raise my daughter as I had helped her raise her three sons, which were my brothers. So I lived at home with her for a couple of years, and I think, you know, I was a single mother, you know, mm-hmm. the father of my child did not want anything to do with her. So I was a waitress taking care of her, doing all the things. And then of course, as she's getting older, my mother passes away. And then mm-hmm. I end up being on my own with her. And I decided to go back and finish my degree because that was something I really wanted. I go back and finish that degree with my daughter still being a single mother, still being a waitress. I was a waitress at this restaurant for 10 years. So
what age did you decide to go back?
So I was 23 when I had her. Mm-hmm. I went back and finished after I got married. I went back and finished I started before I got married, so at 28.
28.
I went back at 28, got married, finished my degree at 30, mm-hmm. had my son at 30, and then began to understand how important education is, because I wanted to go back because I understand that once I achieved that goal, that mm-hmm. was something that nobody could ever take away from me.
Absolutely.
So it was very important to me. So waitressing got me through that. Mm-hmm. I got married, went back, finished the degree, which is my bachelor's degree. I then got a part-time job at a local office in our county government, is the circuit court clerk's office.
Okay.
So it's kind of the court system.
Yes,
you know, I just had my son. I had really not done anything but waitress. I'd never really, I mean, honestly, straight out of high school after raising my brothers and, right. and living that life straight out of high school, was a waitress.
Well, you need something to right. provide for yourself. Right?
I never, you know, and my husband at the time was working, but I really needed something. I felt like I wanted to be involved in the community.
Yeah.
So I went and took
so this was your first?
Yeah. It was my real first employment role, I feel like. Got a job part-time at the circuit court clerk's office, making $16,000 a year. Whew. That's hardly nothing. I mean, nowadays you couldn't even buy, I mean, you know, you could barely buy groceries then, right. but, and that was just 16 years ago. So began that job there, climbed the ranks there into full-time. Just, I've always been a hard worker, into full-time. Then become the administrative assistant to the circuit court clerk. When the office holder changed out, a new one was elected, and he was a friend of mine that I'd worked in there with. So he made me his assistant. So we were oversighting 4 court systems, 15 employees, anything that was coming and going in Carter County. I mean, anything through the court system, it was coming through that office. So I was completely responsible for all of it. So I went from being part-time to absolutely running the court system with 5 different judges we were looking at, dockets, all types of criminal charges, civil charges, traffic tickets, passports. We did everything. I had a great team. But at some point in time, as I mean, as his assistant in my community, a commission spot became available. In our community in Carter County, we have 8 districts, and 3 commissioners each represent one of those 8 districts. And someone had reached out to me and said, Patty, you really need to run for this. You would be perfect, because I was always engaged with my children in their school functions. I was on several youth club boards. I volunteered inside the school system. I loved being part of the school systems and education. And I think I got a lot of that from the way I grew up, how I had to nurse and teach my brothers. And I always realized that education was important. And I do not know how that was instilled in me. And to this day, people who grew up in the area that I came from have often wondered how we made it out, because it's full of addiction, alcohol abuse, poverty. You know, there's not a lot of opportunities, and people fall into that vicious cycle of not getting out is the terminology used.
And you talked about how that community surrounded you guys and really helped take care of you. Was there adults in that circle that spoke that into you, maybe? Yeah. That's just like,
I think
opportunity
there was
here?
I think there was a couple of adults that were leaders in that community, especially in the church that we would always attend. So I think that instilled it in me. I think I've always been strong-willed. I think, absolutely. You know, I always knew that the Lord had a greater purpose for me. And sometimes in order to find that purpose, you have to take these pathways through life. And, and that was my pathway. And it brought me into this role, I wholeheartedly believe. You know, as administrative assistant in the circuit court clerk's office, I took a chance and ran for a commission spot. Once I did run my own little campaign, I received the most votes out of the 24 commissioners in the county, and it was a vigorous door-knocking campaign. I really did go into the rugged areas of Carter County, knock on door in the snow, because this primary was coming through the March month.
Gotcha.
So there were sometimes it was snowing, and this is Roan Mountain. Roan Mountain is the corner nook right at the North Carolina line. That was my district.
So for West Tennessee people listening, you know, it snows in East Tennessee a lot more than it does for us.
Yes.
So we get one a year maybe, whereas you guys get to see it.
Oh, we get several. and then, of course, in the district I was going to represent, of course, it's the highest altitude at some of those homes. So I was climbing up the side of mountains and yards. And I still have citizens to this day that said, I remember standing and watching you at my window come up my yard in the snow and thinking, if she gets up here on my porch, I'm voting for her because I know why she's coming. So
I've been the only one to ever visit.
Yeah. Well, I had that several times. You know, people just appreciated coming to their home, talking to them. More so just coming to their home in some of the little nooks and crannies of Carter County that a lot of people wouldn't consider showing up at somebody's home. And sometimes I was a little nervous, but we've got a lot of good people in Carter County. So, but it worked out really well. I ended up taking that seat with the most votes out of the 24 commissioners. A year into that seat, I climbed pretty quick. I took a lot of leadership roles. I tried to learn, even though I was very nervous because I'd never done anything. But I ended up being the vice chair of the Carter County Commission. And then the chairman of the commission, a year after that, so I'm 2 years into my role, a year into that, he gets ill. And he comes to me and he says, Patty, I've got a situation. I was like, oh, gosh. And he says, I'm going to have to step down. my health is deteriorating, and he really wanted to be at home and take care of himself, and he needed to. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he was my mentor. He was the one who had coached me and prodded me and taught me to climb and be brave.
Being
and
a good leader.
And,
good,
and he had mentored me. So now he was going to step aside and wanted me to come into the interim and take that role. And I said, Ray, I have only been a commissioner for barely 2 years, and you're asking me to chair the Carter County Commission. I'm very scared about this. And I never will forget, he came over and we met in a conference room, and he sat down with me, and he just, it was like the easiest feeling came over me. I felt the Lord come in and say, you should do this. Mm-hmm. He spoke to me and how he was supporting me. And so Ray did step aside, which moved me into an interim role. This rest of this story is going to get really bizarre. It's probably a story you've never heard before. So it moved me into the interim role as chair of the Carter County Commission, which was in April of 2020. So every year...
A very exciting time to be in government.
Yes, it was. Yes, so every year in all the commissions across the state, I think most of them reorganize every September, and that means they revote a chair, they revote mm-hmm. a vice chair, they reselect their committee positions, they change things up, allowing some commissioners to move around, but just every year. So I kept the interim role up until September, and I did. I did it well, as I was nervous, but as I did it more and pushed myself, I grew into the role, and I felt really confident. So as September began to get closer, I thought, you know, I'm going to reach out to my colleagues on the commission and ask for their vote to actually be voted in mm-hmm. as the chair and hold it for the next year. So I started reaching out, talking to them, and they had said, you're doing a great job. We think you will do fine. You know, and I garnered 16 or 17 votes. We have 24 commissioners. So the weekend before the September, that meeting, the mayor of Carter County at the time got sick and ended up in the hospital. Of course, we're in COVID. This is COVID year 2020. We're doing some things live stream. We're trying to figure it all out. I mean, during my interim role as chair, I was conducting commission meetings in the courthouse via live stream with 24 commissioners and with a handful in the courthouse because they were older and still did not understand technology. So we were all distance in the courtroom with a big screen, trying to conduct county business and make sure we're still able to pass budgets and make sure money's still flowing. It was just a whole world of different things going on. So over the weekend, Mayor Barnett, I reached out to him to check on him. He was feeling well. He had had a heart attack. You know, it was pretty serious. He was in the hospital over the weekend, so on Monday when we come in to the office, everybody's coming in. It's the night of the commission meeting. The mayor's secretary at the time calls me, and she said, Mayor Barnett's going to be watching live stream from the hospital. He's rooting for you. He's for sure you've got the votes to take chair. And I'm like, I'm excited. That was at 9 o'clock that Monday morning. 11 o'clock, the county attorney called me and said the mayor's passed away. Yes, same morning, same thing. The mayor passed away the same day of the meeting. So we're all in just, we're
shock.
I mean, I'm crying. Everybody's worried. We're all trying to figure out who's the mayor.
Right.
What's going on? We've never had this happen.
Right.
So it's all in the meeting, too. So the county attorney calls, and he said, right now, the chair of the commission takes the mayoral spot. And right now, you're the interim chair. Mm-hmm. If you receive the votes tonight, you will then be moved on into being the mayor.
Oh, this meeting becomes
meeting
much
starts
more
going
serious.
Crazy. My votes start falling off because mm-hmm. people are scared. The commission's scared. We're all upset. Nobody knows if I can do this.
Well, it's a
lot
of
emotion.
I don't
even know if I can do this.
Absolutely.
But in my heart, I call my pastor and the church comes in. They have me come to the church and pray over me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. My faith is very important. That my church prayed over me for the Lord's will to be done and the right decision to be made. That was at 1 o'clock that day. I leave the church. Several of my votes did fall off. You know, they felt like they couldn't, they just didn't know this was the right fit.
It weighed a lot more.
Yeah, it meant a lot more because they knew if they voted for me as chair, it was also voting for me to take the mayoral spot.
And we're very emotional at this point.
Very emotional.
We just lost a close friend.
So that night we go in to conduct the meeting. I'm still via Zoom with the commissioners on the live screen. I have five or six in the room with me with the county attorney. I have the vice chair actually in the room with me. And the voting begins. I have to step aside so the vice chair can conduct the meeting because it's a voting meeting for me. Mm-hmm. The vote happens. I still receive 17 votes to become the first female chairperson, chair lady of Carter County. And then 5 minutes later, they swear me in as the first female mayor of Carter County. So when someone says, when I say my life literally changed in 24 hours, it really did. It really did. So the next day, nobody knew how to disperse all my roles. Mm-hmm. So for 30 days to 60 days, I was the administrative assistant. I was the commissioner in Roan Mountain. I was also the chair of the commission. I was also the mayor.
So very stressful. Mm-hmm. 30 days.
I carried all those roles until we all figured out, and I worked. And to have respect for the mayor, Mayor Barnett at the time, we did not do anything with his office. I allowed it to stay closed until mm-hmm. the family could come at their own pace. And so I worked out of the circuit court clerk's office with all those roles. And so the funniest thing, we would have people like judges and attorneys. They would walk into the office and they're like, "We're so confused right now. Like, who's the boss?"
Office?
And the circuit court clerk, which is Johnny Blankenship, a dear friend, he's like, we don't know. We're just trying to figure it all out right now.
Give us a month or so.
I carried all those roles. We eventually dispersed those. And then I had to go through an appointment process with 60 days out from the actual vote, which I had four other males that came up, which was a commission appointment, mm-hmm. all via Zoom, four-hour interview process. That was what it was. For myself and the colleague and the guys that were wanted that spot, we had to go through a round of all 24 commissioners asking questions. We had to answer. Midnight, they voted. I kept my 17 votes, and that moved me officially in to finish Mayor Barnett's 2-year term. And then after his 2-year term, I ran my own campaign mm-hmm. in Carter County, and that was in 2022, and I received 62% of the vote in Carter County, which launched me into the first elected female mayor of Carter County. Wow. And then I'm here today.
And you're here today.
Yes.
That is fascinating.
So,
I mean, but at any point of this journey, you could be in a completely different spot yeah. today. I think what I want to go back to, because I told you before, I worked as a college access counselor mm-hmm. for 7 years in a high school. Our job is to help seniors, juniors, mm-hmm. all the way back to 8th grade. We help them with anything past high school. And then our job, too, is to assist those in college, right? So anyone in college that needs our help, and then those that drop out and return later are still eligible for our help. Mm-hmm. So I've seen students in very similar circumstances. How many years did you attend ETSU when you dropped out?
Two.
Mm-hmm. So sophomore year or beginning of junior?
Sophomore year, probably middle of sophomore. Probably, yes, beginning of sophomore year, but it took me probably 3 to finish because at that point in time in my life, I had family. I had kids. Right. So I was doing night classes, and I was doing, when my husband would come home, I would go to school. And 100%. The online was there. It just wasn't as...
It's not where it is today.
Yeah, it was
sure.
nowhere
COVID-19,
near where it was
really.
Today. And I'm an in-person learner. I engage better if I'm actually with someone. Same. So I never will forget my last semester at ETSU. I could graduate, mm-hmm. and I needed 23 hours.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I had
in
to
one
get,
semester?
Yes, I had to get that approved. And I remember
Absolutely.
Going to my dean and saying, I can do it. Mm-hmm. It was 2 writing intensives and 2 oral intensives also included in there. And I said, I can do it if it means I can graduate. So they approved me. I made the dean's list.
Super fascinating. For context, for our listeners, full time in college is 12 hours. As your standard classes would be 3 hours, you would attend, what, maybe 4 classes mm-hmm. a week to get your 12 hours. That is nearly 95% of doubling
yeah.
that in one semester. You really didn't want it to be 2 semesters, did you?
I didn't
you?
Really.
You
had I just wanted to be finished, and I had a 2-year-old at home. I had a 6-year-old at home.
You're like, I'm not
going to
do this 2 semesters.
And
I'm
going to
do this
thought,
one more time.
I've just always been determined, and I've known if I set my mind to a project or something I'm passionate about, I can do it.
Yeah.
I'm the hardest person on myself. So, yeah, and I made the dean's list, and I just couldn't believe it. But when your mind's determined mm-hmm. to do something, we're really amazing when we are like that. And
Absolutely.
I mean, we're amazing human beings when we get that determination.
The tenacity cannot
and
be
the
stopped.
Tenacity, mm-hmm. I really look back at it and I tell that story about the 23 hours. And today, my daughter even and her friends are like, that is crazy.
It is crazy. It
and
is crazy.
Like,
it's crazy at any time period that you look at, 23 hours
yeah.
in one semester. Even as an unemployed student, that's crazy.
Yeah, and
then knowing that you were employed
Yeah.
Full-time mom. I mean,
full-time,
that is...
mostly night classes, doing night classes, you know. So it's really a testament of a lot of the achievements that I've been blessed with in my role as mayor. We've had some great achievements in Northeast Tennessee, especially in education and in Carter County. I'm a big advocate of education. One of the programs that we have in Carter County is the Middle College Program.
Oh, yes.
I'm a big, big fan.
I love that.
It's the high schoolers. They're receiving their high school diploma and their associate's degree. So they actually get their associate's degree before they walk across the stage
of their
high school.
Because they graduate earlier in colleges.
This year's enrollment will put Carter County to having the third largest middle college program in the state of Tennessee. And I'm also a big fan of it because my son, who's a junior, entered into the program. So I'm very excited to have him. This will be our third class. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in the courthouse when we were talking about this program with several legislators. A good friend of mine, Senator John Lundberg, who has been a powerhouse for Northeast Tennessee, helping me carve out what this looks like and removing barriers in legislation for these kids to not have to take certain classes or to pay for certain classes.
That's right.
So all of the
funding
came
some
in.
Some of our fun work.
Mm-hmm. There's no cost to these students. Absolutely. So you have students who are leaving high school at 18 years old with an associate's degree who could either go on to the workforce mm-hmm. or go and finish their post-secondary educational career, which you're thinking doctorate. You're talking master's and doctorate by the time they're 21 and 22 years old. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this program's not meant for everyone, but the students that it does pick up are the ones who are really going to make a difference in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope
and
to
they can be from anywhere in that community.
Yes. And we have several that have just done wonderful things already. So we're really excited about the middle college program. I'm a big advocate for it. So this is our third class going in, which, like I said, puts us to the third largest in the state. And every year, the past two classes, I recognize the class at our commission meetings with nice little plaques that just shows my appreciation and the county's appreciation for the hard work. Because you can imagine, this is very disciplined hard work.
Absolutely.
They're college students. Like, we are going for freshman orientation this week with my son, who's a junior in high school. But he's taking college classes. So it's really amazing. And I just think it's a testament to offering different opportunities to our kids, different pathways, because they're just, our kids are not meant for everything, not meant to just say you're going to college.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in Carter County, Northeast Tennessee, we're changing that trajectory, and I'm excited about it.
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's fascinating. Because that is close to 60 hours, mm-hmm. is that right? To get your associates?
60 hours.
I mean, that
yes.
is.
Yes.
In junior and senior
mm-hmm.
year.
Yeah. So 18 years old, you're already coming out 10 steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And most are choosing to go on. So it's strange because a lot of the colleges are trying to learn how to adapt. Because
that's
you're
true.
Coming in with all these credits. And so they are starting to adapt their programs to these middle college kids because it's new. And we're seeing a lot of success from a lot of colleges who are really just opening the doors and allowing them to come in and moving them into juniors. Because technically they would be in their junior year in any mm-hmm. college that they entered into. So it's pretty phenomenal. And we're excited about it, and we want to promote it, and we want to see every community have this opportunity for their children.
I mean, it just takes one, right?
It
takes one community to show you that it can be done.
And I think, you know, it's the students and the Carter County school system and our community colleges that's the support staff. To me, I want to play a role in just being there and promoting and supporting them and letting them know that people are rooting them on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're here to help you. And just like I recognize them at commission meetings, just showing that people appreciate what they're doing and just uplifting them. And that means a lot to an 18-year-old who may not have that confidence, who may be looking for some type of appreciation or validation. Mm-hmm. That means a lot to them to have a plaque or a trophy that's from the Carter County Mayor and the Carter County Commission recognizing your achievement. I mean, it means something to me, so I know it means something to them.
I'm sure it does. Wow. What is something else? Because I don't want to highlight for you. And I know that you will not take credit for anything that's, or you won't take full credit. But what are some of the cool things going on in Carter County since you were elected mayor in 2020?
So, of course, the middle college program, mm-hmm. but along with that program also came the development of, we're having a $40 million facility built in Carter County. It's the Carter County Higher Education Center that will house this program. This was property that the county owned, and I brokered the deal along with some other wonderful leaders in our community, another one being Senator Rusty Crowe and Senator John Lundberg, who helped me broker this deal. And with the Tennessee Board of Regents, if we would give them that property, they would invest in this facility that I originally wanted to build in Carter County for our kids, because education is a big deal. And we owned this piece of property that was, 30 acres, 110,000 square feet. And it's kind of the satellite campus for our community college now, but the property could be utilized for so much more. So I went on a roadshow to try to sell this idea and what could go here. And it worked. And the governor, who has been a wonderful friend to me in Carter County, allotted $40 million for this brand new facility to be built in Carter County, which will open up in August of 2026. And it will house our TCAT and our Northeast State Community College and our middle college program for the Carter County school systems, all on one beautiful campus. And it will be brand new. So the buildings that are there now will be torn down, and a brand new facility will be built there for our students to come through. So the campus is super exciting. $40 million investment, a beautiful campus for education, not just for Carter County, for Johnson, for Unicoi, for Sullivan, for Washington, because this will be a hub for kids to come to, not just kids, but also adults. That's adults right. coming back to school, adults coming to TCATs to get certification in a field that they may be in a field now that they want to do HVAC.
That's right. Tennessee Reconnect.
Diesel. The Tennessee Reconnect is all going to be housed here. So this is going to be a hub for a pipeline for our workforce for Northeast Tennessee. And I'm super proud of it, because here's another little tidbit of information. When you look at the map, the governor allotted several billions for TCATs, whether they're new or renovated. But when you look at that map, when you get right to Knoxville, the line, there's only one. And it's a brand new Carter County Higher Education Center in Carter County, and there's only one. So that shows you that we're making ways and showing that the state does not just stop in
Knoxville. That's right.
We also got a brand new facility for education, and it's going to service Northeast Tennessee with a community college, with a TCAT, and the middle college program. So I'm super excited about that project. That was a passion for me. That was the first initiative I tackled when I came into my role.
Oh, start small then, I guess.
Even prior to the appointment, I was on tackling that. So I've been blessed with a lot of good partnerships and friendships. And I think I take what I've done with those partnerships and friendships back to the role of the little girl growing up in Little Milligan, taking care of her brothers, nurturing and taking care of. I've still maintained that in this role because people are important to me. They're our most important asset. And my friendships and partnerships are the same to me. And if I tell you I'm going to do something with millions of dollars, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. So. That collaboration is amazing to hear about. Was there any like that across the state that you guys could kind of, not borrow from, but like to see? Because if you're not aware, we have different regions in Tennessee. There are different TCAT is the system, but it could be TCAT Jackson, for instance, or TCAT Nashville. And so they're all connected, but and same with our community college system. So there's Jackson State, Dyersburg State, Northeast State. Was there any kind of collaboration that you saw somewhere else that you could say,
I'll tell you, when I first came into this role, and everybody's gone except for myself and the governor that really were playing these roles, but the president of our community college and the president of our TCAT at the time, they did not speak. They were constantly competing for our children. There was no partnerships. There was no interchanging of classes. There was no any of that. And I remember sitting in my conference room with these three individuals, the two presidents, and I just said, it just seems so absurd to me that we don't partner and give the most that we can give, because there's so many that can benefit from our services. And at that point in time is when I seen the change and the push to work together and to collaborate. It happened in a small conference room in my courthouse when we began, and it may have been that they didn't have anybody that wanted to glue them together or put them to the table together. And so I've made that my mission, is to bring people to the table that you would never see working together. And then I just step away And those partnerships are still lasting today. And I'm very proud of those partnerships.
It's almost like if we could inspire people to take ownership of the community instead of ownership over the student mm-hmm. or ownership over the area.
Yes.
Like if we could all take ownership and say, like, this is our community.
Correct.
And so this everyone would benefit mm-hmm. from this partnership.
Right. And, you know, you've seen a lot of community colleges and TCAT duplication of classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't do that anymore. Our TCAT and our Northeast State are now offering, if you leave from a TCAT, we'll take your credits and you can come on over to Northeast State. So that pathway is there now too. So they're not duplicating, they're allowing crossover for the credit hours to go to Northeast State. So these are pretty amazing partnerships and collaborations.
So while you may not have gotten to borrow this idea from anyone, it's definitely something that other communities could, oh my gosh, could steal immediately.
Immediately. I mean, that's amazing. And the middle college program, part of the deal that was brokered for the new facility is that Carter County School System has to have a footprint in that new facility with the middle college in any of their CTE classes. And that was actually even put into the deed.
Wow.
So we will have a footprint there, and the Chancellor Tidings of TBR honored that with wholeheartedly, and the governor sent the $40 million, and there you have it. We're going to have a brand new state-of-the-art 70,000 square foot facility for students and adults. And that has been my dream. I used to drive by that facility.
And you could see it.
And I would think to myself, I want to one day see kids coming and hustling and bustling through these grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a smile. I remember pulling the back of this facility is the facility where we used to set up COVID shots.
Gotcha.
So we had this facility, and it was a time that nobody really wanted to, you know, it was not positive times.
Right.
So I pulled it. I remember pulling.
I mean, COVID positive, but not positive morale.
Not positive, but we had the tent set up and people were coming through. We used this grounds for that. And I remember I pulled in the back of that parking lot and I sat there and I prayed. I prayed for the Lord to allow this project to happen for Carter County in Northeast Tennessee. And it did. And so I'm very thankful.
Something that will impact not just students, but their families, generations,
especially the workforce, especially maybe stopping the vicious cycle of living on the welfare system and seeing your parents and grandparents continuously do that. Well, now we want to grab these kids up in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade and offer these different pathways to them. Give them a pat on the back, support them, and show them they can do this.
And expose them to the opportunity.
Expose them to these opportunities, whether it's CTE, whether it's a partnership with Kubota or one of our local industries straight out of high school, whether it's TCAT, whether it's Northeast State, or whether it is that four-year bachelor degree, that's up to the student.
Absolutely.
But they need the support system, and we have to have that in the elementaries, middles, and high schools at that point, too.
You're bringing the horse to water.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the role that the Ayers Foundation also plays is putting those mentors and support roles into the school systems. It's very important.
I can't help but go back to 23-year-old Patty. And I imagine you today talking to 23-year-old Patty who's dropping out. You said you started back at 28.
Yeah.
I know there's a journey between 23 and 28 where, you know, because I've talked to these students where it's like, oh, if I stop now, I'll never go back.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard. There's so much pressure. There's so many responsibilities mm-hmm. on some of these students that are in these situations. You know, they have to raise their own families mm-hmm. versus raise other families. I mean, I've had students raising parents, raising cousins, raising, you know, or taking care of grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Kids that had jobs in high school to where we couldn't even meet after school. You know, they'd be like, I'm really sorry. I have a work-based learning. I will not be available. You know, and teachers even warning me like, oh, he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
You know, go easy on him. And we're like, oh, we don't want to go hard on him. We want to help him. What would you tell 23-year-old Patty from today, looking at the work that's getting done in your community? Like, what advice would you give her?
I would give her probably the same advice I give my 23-year-old daughter. The education piece, yes, that degree is a paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a certificate. You can hang it anywhere. You can never take that away from someone. You could never take that away from me. You can never take that away from my daughter. Or you can never take that. That is your hard work.
That's right.
That is a testament to you and what you can do.
The work representative.
The work that you represent that nobody can do anything to you over. You have that one piece of life that you accomplished, and that's your number one accomplishment. Own it, and it's very important. It's very important. I think now to some of the projects that I've been able to be a part of and accomplish, I could not have done it without having my education and going through the valleys with that education, mm-hmm. the downs, the ups, the learning, the sacrifices, because sacrifice and failure is a part of life, and you have to learn that.
In order to be
successful, you do have to fail. Mm-hmm. You do have to learn. And going through the educational process is the greatest teacher. It really is. You know, there are those life lessons that you can learn that you can't get everywhere else, but getting your education and learning how tough it is and learning the different avenues of failure and accomplishments and achievements is a true testament of who it will build you to be. And I truly believe that.
Absolutely. I mean, wow. I mean, we just zoomed through some of my questions I was even going to ask you, because you said I was so fascinated by, you know, what's going on in Carr County. In fact, I'm not even going to ask you a couple of our last questions, because I'm more fascinated with, we're on a podcast, and so you can't tell me what's going on, you know, that's in the plans that just haven't been revealed yet. But what are some goals that you'd love to see next? Like, what are you guys working on right now that really, you talked about your clean water.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things, and you can speak on that if you want. What are some things right now that you're jazzed about that you're getting people to get on board for? What are some more?
A couple more of the projects that I'm really passionate about is infrastructure.
Yes.
Clean drinking water. Carter County is a small rural county. We do not have the funds to get those water sources out to the rural homes. So what I did was reach out to Congresswoman Harshbarger's office for grant opportunities. I did one last year for a small community in Carter County, 10 homes who are on wells and cisterns who have a lot of bacteria in their wells.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to her. We done a grant application. We received that grant. It's $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that will get infrastructure from our city water source, which is the public drinking water. We'll give them clean drinking water to 10 homes, which will also create opportunity for more homes to be built out in that area to advance into that pipeline. But that's a big deal.
Right.
This year, again, I have another community in my area, 14 homes, 2 on cisterns, 12 on wells, desperate for clean water.
Mm-hmm.
Several have had several illnesses that have been involved in the community from bacterial infections. Reached out again for the grant. And I'm one of the ones, if in Northeast Tennessee, many people say, once you turn her on, you can't turn her off. And that at first I thought, that's kind of not, but now I do take that and say, yeah, that's probably true, because I don't say no. And I keep on and on and on until I can bring back to my community. So once again, we were notified just last month. I got that grant.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's another $1 million. So that will be 24 homes in Carter County that are in the pipeline to receive infrastructure for clean drinking water. And that's a huge deal for us. Like I said, I grew up with not having clean drinking water and getting our water from an actual, I guess, a well that was coming out of the side of the mountain and we would get clean drinking water from. So for me to be able to be in a position to advocate for families to have clean drinking water is very important to me. It's very meaningful work, and I want to do meaningful work. I want to do work that's around for years after I'm gone. So that's important to me. Not who done it, just that it got done.
That got done.
Yeah,
right.
That's important to me. So another big project in Carter County is the Northeast Tennessee Regional Recovery Center.
Okay.
It's a treatment facility. We converted a prison into an inpatient treatment facility serving all 9 Northeast Tennessee counties. It's in Carter County. Fabulous project. There was several boots on the ground. You're talking city councils, commissions, judges.
Mm-hmm.
This project is a regional project at its best. It includes every branch of government, executive, judicial, and legislative, in all aspects of our county. We've had this facility open for a year, and we will be graduating 10 out of this facility in November on their path to recovery from opioid addiction, trauma. They've never had opportunity in life. And so that's another passion for me, as
that
I experienced that,
as well. So that's amazing.
In my childhood, and I've been very close with this project. I chair the board that oversights the project, and we started it from the ground up. And the biggest push was to talk the governor into giving us this prison on the side of the mountain in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, to turn into an inpatient treatment facility. But he did. So that goes to show, when we say we're going to do something, right, we're going to do it. So we already kind of had that legacy in Carter County. But we had a couple of judges in Carter County that were passionate about having an actual inpatient treatment facility. And they had been looking for a place to have it for several years. And it just so happened that the prison was decommissioned due to budgeting, and they thought it would be the perfect opportunity. And so we had legislators and senators and judges and county commissions and councils and you name it, coming to the table, coming here to Nashville, pitching to get this prison, and it happened. And within less than a year, we converted that prison to a treatment facility. We have 20, and it's a male facility in Carter County. The female facility is in a neighboring county for the females, but we have 26 males. And something different about this program is the recovery court program. So these individuals are currently incarcerated.
Okay.
So they're incarcerated. They are underneath a sentence, and mm-hmm. they have to be vetted for the program. And so this is another way that we're going to change people's lives and remove the stigma from addiction and allow these individuals back into the community, into the workforce for their education. I also have Northeast State and TCAT partnered in the facility, so they are receiving their what they call their high set, but their high school diploma, mm-hmm. if they haven't received it. We just graduated all of them with certifications from TCAT. We had a graduation last month. It was the first time many of them had ever worn a cap and gown. So they graduated with workforce certifications, four each, which was OSHA, the 3M, all of the certifications the industry requires mostly when you come in, they all have. And a lot of the industries in Northeast Tennessee and Carter County are partnering with the facility, and we have several of them employed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's an amazing project. It's very close to my heart. I spend quite a bit of time at each of the facilities. Once again, rooting on our young kids for their education, for their first chance, but then again on this side of the house, rooting on our adults for their second chance.
Absolutely.
Because they deserve that second chance, because somewhere along the line, somebody gave me a second chance.
Right.
And so I want to extend anything that I can do to help them, because these adults are these children's parents.
That's right. I have firsthand experience with trying to find inpatient rehab facilities and just and being a part of that process. Mm-hmm. Before this facility opened, where was the closest one? Like, is there even one?
Knoxville is one of the closest ones. And most of them are those 30-day, 60-day treatments. And they just, the guys and gals that we have in the program now, one of the questions we've asked is how many of them had been in a 30 or 60-day, and almost all of them, and they just did not work.
Yeah.
This program is 18 months, and you live here.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you mess up or you do anything that doesn't evolve around the guidelines, you go back to jail.
Right.
If you walk off from the facilities, you go back to jail. You actually don't go to jail. The judges will send you to prison. So you've got a choice. And these are individuals who've had revolving, repeat offenders and have just been struggling. But we have the graduations on the there's an outpatient side of the house, too. And it's been around for, I think, the recovery courts have been around for about 8 years. But I attend those graduations, and I normally try to speak. To hear these graduates get up and talk about 18 months of sobriety, 24 months of sobriety, having jobs, getting their children back, completing bachelor's degrees, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we'll just maybe have three graduates, and we'll do it in my courtroom in Carter County. Those three graduates will bring standing room only into the courtroom. So those three individuals can affect a large portion of our communities.
Absolutely.
Because there's grandmothers, there's grandparents, there's children, there's people that love these individuals that they have stolen from or committed crimes against, that it affects them. So getting these individuals clean and sober is a big deal for our communities.
Yes.
And that's another project along with a group of wonderful, passionate people that I just bring to the table, and they
that's
do
right.
all the work.
Because we can't do it alone. But gosh,
no.
it's just like our students when we talk about exposure to jobs.
Mm-hmm.
When they complete this program and they graduate with these things, they're exposing other people that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's some people just need a drop of that.
And
hope.
That's exactly right. On the treatment facility side of the house, we want to see those graduates maybe come back and be social workers or be mm-hmm. the ones, because what better way to talk to somebody about the addiction process than someone who's actually walked in those shoes? I mean, I've not walked in those shoes. I've experienced it. I have loved ones who deal with it. I grew up in it,
mm-hmm.
but I've not. But to have someone that has walked in those shoes, and we have a Representative Tim Hicks in Northeast Tennessee, Washington County Representative. He is a phenomenal man. He has had his own addiction issues. And his story is another phenomenal story, by the way. He's now a Tennessee representative, and he has overcome so many battles. I'm proud to call him my friend. And he has been the spearhead of this program. And then for him to be able to sit down with these men and women to tell his story It's amazing. It's a tearjerker.
That's why Alcoholics Anonymous works.
I mean, when he tells his story and the things he came through with his addiction to where he is now, I mean, it's a testament of will and strength that we can do and overcome anything we want to with the right support system. And that's what we want to do in Carter County in Northeast Tennessee on the educational side and on the addiction side, is to be a support system, to make these individuals successful. And I just want to be there to cheer them on. I'm just a good cheerleader.
Well, Ms. Patty, I could talk to you all day, and I hope we get a chance to do this again. I appreciate you so much for making
very
long trip
us and talk with us. I was honored to get the invite. I enjoy talking about how I came into my role. And I really, you know, I want people to know that's listening, being in this role as mayor has been an honor of my life. I pull in every day into my parking spot that has the little mayor tag, and every day I walk up the steps to my office, I think, is this real? Am I really able to be in a role to where I can affect change and do so much meaningful work? And in these roles, you could do nothing, you know, draw the checks, bide your time, or you could really get in these roles and do a lot of meaningful work and help people for generations to come, and that's what I want to do.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you for tuning into 10 Talks. 10 Talks is recorded in the Ayers Audiovisual Studio located in the Ayers Entrepreneur Center in Parsons, Tennessee. You can find the Ayers Entrepreneur Center on Facebook, and you can also find out more about Ayers Foundation Trust at ayersfoundationtrust.org and facebook.com/AyersFSP.